Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 34, Jeremiah chapter 34. I think I'm going to break the sermon into really two sections. It's kind of the way my notes is broken up. But I'm going to read verses 1 through 7, and then I'm going to read later, after I do 1 through 7, 8 through the rest of the chapter. And I think there's a consistent theme, a consistent message that God is communicating. The Lord is I really feel like there's a style change. Jeremiah is still the same person God's using to pen his eternal word, but he is going to really deal with some things that would seem, this is me talking, God's never silly, but it would seem, unless we dig in, that you're dealing with this when the Babylonians are right there, and the Lord was not only dealing with them 2,600 years ago, but he is communicating a message for us. The beauty about the Bible is it's eternal, and it is as relevant today as it was for the Jews inside Jerusalem and the Babylonians were right outside the walls. The Bible's amazing. So let's look at verse 1 through 7, Jeremiah chapter 34. Now, just to give you a little bit of context as well, Jeremiah 32 and 33, Jeremiah was in prison under Zedekiah. Jeremiah 34 would be prior to that. So we know that because it'll tell us when the Zedekiah's reign was. So I think, if I remember right, 32 and 33, Zedekiah was in his 10th year, approaching his 11th year. And so don't worry about that. The Bible doesn't claim that it's always chronological. It's in the order that God wanted. And so, but I tell you that in case you're reading it going, now wait a minute. Jeremiah was in prison last I saw, but he's not here. Jeremiah 34. Verse 1, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, and all the kingdoms of the earth of his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem and against all the cities thereof, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but shalt surely be taken and delivered into his hand, and that thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon. Zedekiah is going to be eyeball to eyeball, face to face with Nebuchadnezzar. And he shall speak with thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go to Babylon. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of thee, thou shalt not die by the sword. So Jeremiah is pronouncing how Zedekiah is going to die. He's not going to die by the sword. But thou, verse 5, shalt die in peace, at least not as a result of war. And with the burnings of thy fathers, the former kings which were before thee, so shall they burn odors for thee. There was a burning of incense that they would do in the time of mourning. And you'll see, I'll show you some other kings where they didn't. But they said they'll mourn Zedekiah, and they will recognize his death. And they will lament thee, saying, ah, Lord, for I have pronounced the word, saith the Lord. Then Jeremiah the prophet spake all these words unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, in Jerusalem, when the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and against all the cities of Judah that were left, against Lachish and against Azekah, for these defensed cities remained of the cities of Judah. We're getting near the end of this time. Tonight, the title of the message may not be obvious. I think it'll be more obvious with the second half of the message, but it's unsustained obedience. Let me just go. I don't want us to miss the thought that I think these scriptures are dealing with. Here's what God wants. God wants us to be consistent with him. And it is, he is merciful and he is kind. And I always want you to leave with hope and encouragement that God will hear our cries. He will forgive our sins. When we repent, he will forgive and he will receive. What God wants from us as believers, he doesn't want us to have to be superstars. He's not asking for that. Nobody's a superstar, right? We are nothing. But he uses people in our flesh and blood. What God wants is consistent, sustained obedience. If we want to honor the Lord, it would be with consistent, sustained obedience. And it's just that simple. And I think that's what it's dealing with. And you won't have seen that necessarily unless you thought about this passage, because Zedekiah and the judgment against Zedekiah was because of his rebellion and disobedience against God. And so that's important for us to remember. And Zedekiah was in, does it tell us here? I think it does in this chapter, that he's in his ninth year, or maybe I've made that up in my own mind. I've read so much coming into this, but I think this is probably the ninth year. I don't know where I'm not even going to look for that, but in that realm. So understand this, that Jeremiah would have been preaching and pronouncing God's judgment and God's cry and God's cry for them to turn to him for 9 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. I mean, we just celebrated our ninth year as Hope Baptist Church. That would be as though me preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for 9 years. And just getting the looks that I'm getting right now. No, what I'm encouraged by, what I love is, I do know that we struggle, but I believe I'm with the people that want to do what's right. Let's help each other. Let's worship and honor the Lord. Versus Jeremiah, he would get blank stares, and when he wasn't getting blank stares, he was getting mean stares, and they would do terrible things to him, and they're not quite done yet. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. I'm going to take you to some passages so we can understand the background of where this got us to. 2 Chronicles. So you've got 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. So you're kind of to the left of Jeremiah, to the left of Psalms. So you'll find the 1st and 2nds there. So it's in opposite alphabetical order, SKC. I know, that's a sword drill tactic. And 2nd Chronicles chapter 36. I want us to see, and I want you to understand, this is very important to me, that we understand. I talked to a person tonight, and I said, God gets blamed for all the bad, gets no credit for the good. And I said, the reality is, God's responsible for all the good, and we're responsible for all the bad. And so it's just the opposite, and the devil loves that. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, let's start at verse 9. I'm going to start at verse 9 because I want to show you how Zedekiah became king. Zedekiah became king. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 9 says this. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days. That's quite a short reign. 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And when the year was expired, so Zedekiah or Jehoiachin, his service is done. He said, and when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and King Nebuchadnezzar made Zedekiah, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. So I want you to understand this. Nebuchadnezzar placed Zedekiah and said, you'll be king, and we're going to see. Then Zedekiah made some promises to Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to do what I want you to do, and then Zedekiah, we're going to see. Zedekiah then got tired of that after a while, and he entered into an alliance with Egypt, saying, I'm tired of submitting to Babylon and everything that King Nebuchadnezzar wants. And King Nebuchadnezzar found out about it, and that ultimately led to the destruction. But he got in there. They would call him a vassal king or just somebody, a puppet king. But he got there because Nebuchadnezzar placed him there, and then he made a promise. Now, verse 11. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Now, these are a couple of things to pay attention to. And humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Now, I'll tell you this. You see this with Zedekiah. You'll see this with the priests. You'll see this with the religious leaders and the political leaders. They would not submit to the word of Jeremiah. Who made you God? Jeremiah was just trying to preach the truth. I want to tell you this. I'm not asking for you to submit to me. But try to listen. Get over my personality, right? And I tell people sometimes, I'll say, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. But for my wife, I'll say, hey, we got to learn to get along. You got to learn to accept my personality. You know, so I want to tell you this. If you can't sit in services and my personality grates you, or my style or my words, ask God to help you overcome it. Because what you need is you need to submit to the truth of God's word. Don't let a preacher get in the way. Now, if a preacher's not doing what's right, then a preacher shouldn't be in the pulpit. I'm not saying I'm doing what's right wholly, but my desire is to do what's right. My desire is to honor God, and I have to submit and humble myself daily. But Zedekiah would not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. In essence, he wouldn't humble himself before the truth of the Lord's word. Don't let the man, don't let the personality steal away what you need to do. Fight through it if you have to, but get to the point where you say, how would you have me to respond, Lord? Don't let the personality get in the way. Zedekiah did. He says this, now let's look on verse 12, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord, and he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. We're finding out why Zedekiah got the wrath of Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. So now Nebuchadnezzar made him swear by the only true God, but by his God. Nebuchadnezzar made him swear by God, but he, Zedekiah, stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Verse 14, 2 Chronicles 36. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, or often, and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. I want you to make sure you understand the background. God had compassion. God over and over and over and over and over again sent his messengers, primarily Jeremiah, but not only Jeremiah, to give them the truth and give them the opportunity to turn to him. It doesn't always remove the consequences, but God was merciful. So when you see the judgment of God and you see Jeremiah 34 that says, your cities will be burned, it seems, if you don't understand the background, a little heartless. It's not heartless. They brought it upon themselves. They mocked the messengers of God. They rebelled against God. They followed after the abominations of the heathen. The Bible goes into the details. They sacrificed their children to Molech. They did terrible, ritual, sinful things that just almost unmentionables. And so they were evil to the core. Now I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 52. You won't remember that we covered this by the time we get to Jeremiah 52, but I thought it was helpful. Jeremiah chapter 52, to understand a little bit more why this judgment of God was against Zedekiah. It is interesting that Jehoiakim was 8 years old when he became king, and Zedekiah was 21. That says a lot about Zedekiah, doesn't it? And they thought that an 8-year-old would be a better king than a 21-year-old. Anyway, Jeremiah 52, verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 52, verse 1 says this: Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had... Till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that's where the 9th year, the 10th month, 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. That's where I think we are at in Jeremiah 34. Verse 5. So the city was besieged into the 11th year of King Zedekiah, so it was a long siege. And in the 4th month and the 9th day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so there was no bread for the people of the land. Then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, were by the city round about it. And they went by the way of the plain. So they tried to escape. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king and carried him up into the king, under the king of Babylon, just as Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 34, to Riblah in the king of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah. And the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. I wanted to give a little perspective when Jeremiah announces that you won't die by the sword. He had to see his sons slaughtered, his eyes were put out, and then he died in prison. So Zedekiah and Judah's end was harsh. My first thought, I've been talking about my first thought for a long time, so just be comfortable. There's only four thoughts tonight. And then my second thought is, better than the death of others. So now let's look at verse 5, get back to Jeremiah 34. I want to show you Jeremiah, let's read verse 4 and 5. Jeremiah 34, verse 4 says, "Yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of thee, thou shalt not die by the sword." That sounds like good news. Until you read Jeremiah 52. "But thou shalt die in peace." And again, that word peace is relative. You won't die by war. The opposite of war is peace. "And with the burnings of thy fathers, the former kings which were before thee, so shall they burn odors." They're going to lament thee, and they will lament thee, saying, "Ah, Lord, for I have pronounced the word, saith the Lord." I say better than the death of others. And so some of you in this room, you may say, "I would have rather died in war than had the end of Zedekiah." But I want to remind you of this. There's no evidence that Zedekiah was a believer in the Messiah to come, Jesus Christ. God was merciful to Zedekiah. Gave him more time on this earth. He heard more truth and more opportunities to repent. Let me show you the outcome of some of the other kings. Look at Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 7. Jeremiah 21, verse 7. God still shows mercy to an evil king. I highlight this because I don't want to be an irritable man, but I get irritated when people try to make God out to be this ogre. I will tell you this, you do not want to stand and face the judgment of God. But he is controlled, and he's perfectly just. He never does anything that he later says, "I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I made a mistake." No, it's exactly right. And so I talked to a lady tonight. I said, "I know hell seems harsh, doesn't it?" And I said, "Because you probably haven't done what you consider horrible sins." I said, "The problem is you and I don't think right. When we break God's law, we've done horrible things that deserve the wrath of God. And he will justly deal with those people that do what we would call horrible things, but we have done horrible things. And we don't like to think of it that way." Jeremiah 21:7 says this. I just want you to see, "And afterward, saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, and such as are left in this city from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine." So Zedekiah was rescued from the pestilence, the sword, and the famine into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those that seek their life, and he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity, nor have mercy. I will tell you this, Nebuchadnezzar felt this way. We may not think that with Jeremiah 52, Nebuchadnezzar had mercy on Zedekiah. You make a statement with kings. And he didn't. Oh, I know, he put out his eyes. He put him in prison. That was mercy compared to what would normally happen. Look over to Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. Jeremiah 22, 18 says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him." They did for Zedekiah. "Saying, Ah, my brother," or "Ah, sister." They shall not lament for him, saying, "Ah, Lord," or "Ah, his glory." "He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem." There was some honor There was some lamenting for a king, but that wasn't always the case. I tell you all this to say just two things I want you to grasp with these seven verses. God was just in the judgment that came against Israel, against the southern kingdom Judah. And he was merciful to King Zedekiah, even though it may not seem like it. I will tell you, I think one of many of my great sins is that I don't recognize the mercy of God. He's merciful to me every day. You see, Zedekiah, if he would be thinking right, and I know this seems crazy to us, he would have seen the mercy of God even as they put out his eyes. These guys knew what would happen when kings would capture you and get a hold of you. That's why you'll see this. You'll see this in movies, but you'll see this also. Remember, the Philippian jailer was going to kill himself rather than be under the judgment of Rome, very similar to the terrible nature of Babylon. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 8. It's a long passage, almost two columns in my Bible. I might break it up, but let's just see. I want you to grasp this. I'm just telling you, remember this. this is what gives me peace. This is what gives me peace. I am tempted sometimes when I preach. I'll be like, Rachel needs this message. Not really, you know, but I'll be like, our church needs this message. And I fight it. How do I know what message we need? I am obnoxious about it, and I'm not saying anybody else has to be. I'm obnoxious about verse by verse. I know you guys are like, can we have a little topical? I do topical every week, God's topic, in his order. But really, seriously, that's what I do. And I'm not saying there's not a place for that. You understand that? I'm not saying that at all. But what I love, there's times that I'm like, Lord, this is not the message that your people need. I'm so glad that our house is empty now. And so I try to be respectful to the Lord, right? I mean, Stephen, you know I'm always wound tight, so I try to be kind to the Lord, right? Kind to the Lord. And I don't try to be disrespectful. I really do. But I kind of tell the Lord, you know, hey, you know, I don't think this is the message. And he'll like, anyway, he deals with me. There's no way this is the message God wanted Jeremiah to give Israel or Judah. Well, it is. Wait till you see it, verse 8. The Babylonians are right outside the wall. I'm not going to have you look down anymore, but verse 8. This is the word that came into Jeremiah from the Lord after the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which are at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them. So Zedekiah does something good. That every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant bring an Hebrew or a Hebrewess go free. That none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew his brother. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should let his manservant and everyone his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them anymore, then they obeyed and let them go. Let's pause there. The Babylonians are outside the wall. Now, the Lord talks about this. I don't know if this seems to maybe happen a little bit before verse 1 through 7. Maybe not. But this is a good thing. So far, good. I want you to turn over to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. I want to show you what this is a fulfillment of. Exodus chapter 21. If you're familiar somewhat with Exodus, Exodus chapter 20 is a big kind of pinnacle chapter of Exodus. It's the giving of the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. And then Exodus chapter 21 begins God's very specific and detailed instruction for the nation of Israel. And here's what he says in Exodus chapter 21, verse 1. He says this. Now these are the beginnings. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Just so you know, my wife gets on me all the time. I do look up a lot, and I don't have it memorized. I read these things so much that I'm always thinking about, this is terrible. I've got to stop this. I'm always thinking about something else other than the scriptures I'm reading, because I've read them enough, and I'm reading them for you. Where did it, now these are the beginnings. Where did that come from? You can tell I wasn't looking at it. So I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to do better because it's so distracting, is it not? So now, here I go. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he shall serve. Now understand this, buying a Hebrew servant. This would not be in the vein that tragically and sinfully our country would kidnap people from another country and then put them in bondage and then sell them with zero rights as they were a piece of property. That's not what's happening. These people would be indentured servants. They would sell themselves to pay off debt. They would sell themselves to provide for their families. They would, you want to buy me? I'm really good. I'm expensive. So they would sell themselves to pay off debt, and the Bible gave parameters around this. We're going to see the parameters here, right? So I want you to understand this and not think, what is the Bible talking about here? If thou buy an Hebrew servant, and a Hebrew servant selling themselves into this agreement, 6 years shall he serve. He shall serve. And in the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. So when you bought this person and basically had an employee contract, is what we might call it today, it'd be a six-year contract. In the seventh year, you have no obligation to be anymore. He shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters. It's interesting. Just deal with it. And he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him under the judges. He shall also bring him to the door and under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Again, willingly and submitting. God had instruction for how to deal with people that were in dire straits financially. And he had a way that they could not make it permanent unless they decided to make it permanent. And it was very important. I want you to understand this. What I love about this is the heart of God, and this is shocking to the angels. God loves his creation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's the message I want people to understand. God's getting a bad rap out there. But let me tell you, God is the most loving person in all of eternity, and no one's even close. And so we need to understand that. And in the midst of this, God is going to hold them accountable for turning from what is good. Now turn back to Jeremiah chapter 34. But you see this in Exodus 21. Zedekiah does this. That's a good thing. Zedekiah did a good thing. But what he did was repenting of good. Remember, the word repentance just means a change of mind. It means a change of direction. It means turning. When we talk about repentance that's good, we turn from our sin, turn from our old ways, turn from our just all that we're counting on, and we turn. It's a change of mind, change of direction, and we turn in faith to Christ. Repent, turn to Christ. But they did something good, and they turn against it. We haven't read that verse yet. Let's look at verse 11. Now let's look at verse 10. We'll just review. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant, this is the covenant, the old covenant that God had with Israel, heard that everyone should let his manservant and everyone his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them anymore, then they obeyed and let them go. Good. But the infamous word, verse 11, but afterward they turned and caused to the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. They turned on what God said to do. They did what's right and said, I'm done doing what's right. We're going back to the old way. Remember the title of the message? Unsustained obedience. See, what God wants is he doesn't want a spectacular day of obedience and then tomorrow he's forgotten. God just wants consistency. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's see the pronouncement that God makes in verse 12. And just so you know, I mean, In the grand scheme of things, this seems light compared to a lot of the other atrocities that Judah committed. I mean, sacrificing your children, and he speaks of that, so I'm not saying that's not part of the judgment. But I want to tell you, it's important. Let's just say there's one truth tonight. We will be held accountable for how we treat people. And God cares how we treat people. It matters how we treat people. Because of His glory, His name, His reputation, and His command. It matters. It matters how you treat your parents. It matters how you treat your boss. It matters how you treat your husband. It matters how you treat your wife. It matters how you treat your kids. Because we represent Christ, and Israel represented the one true God. And don't think the world didn't find out that they turned against something that was good, and they ended up doing bad. Verse 12. Therefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondmen, saying, At the end of 7 years, let ye go every man his brother in Hebrew. He's reiterating Exodus 21. Which hath been sold unto thee. And when he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And you were now turned and had done right in my sight. He said, your fathers didn't do this, but you guys did. And you were now turned and had done right in my sight in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor. And you had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But you turned. You see, here's what he says. But you turned from what your fathers did. That's the good repentance. Turning is right back where you were. 180 plus 180 is 360. You do a full circle, and you're right back where your fathers would do. Verse 16. But ye turned and polluted my name. You see, I want you to see that. That's why it matters how we treat people. But you turned and polluted my name. God's not an egotist. His name matters. I will tell you, one of the great privileges, one of the great responsibilities we have is that we are representatives and we are responsible to represent the name of God well. Verse 16, but you turned and polluted my name and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid whom he hath set at liberty at their pleasure to return and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Let me read what Matthew Henry said. I thought it was a good thought with this. He said, A Jew should not be held in servitude above 7 years. This law they and their fathers had broken. And when there was some hope that the siege was raised, they forced the servants that they had released into their services again. Those who think to cheat God by dissembled repentance and partial reformation put the greatest cheat upon their own souls. I want you to understand what Matthew Henry's talking about. So it's his thought. I can't find this in the scripture, but it's his thought, and I thought it was a decent thought. Here's what he's saying. There were three different sieges that Babylon had against Jerusalem, and the final third siege was the final conquering in 586-587 BC. And what happened was, they released the people. So it looks like, at least Matthew Henry had this thought, that Zedekiah did this right with an ulterior motive. We're going to release the servants so they can fight. I don't know if that's the case. But then what happened is when the second siege or maybe the third siege came, they're like, we need you back. Or, you know, whenever it was, maybe it was they released them to fight, and when the Babylonians left and then came back, in between, they changed their mind for their benefit. The whole point is this. Do you know why we disobey? Because we want to. You know why we disobey? Because we foolishly think that's a better idea than obeying God. It never works out. But you see, I want you to understand this. Pharaoh had the same thought. Let my people go. Firstborn dead, get out of here. And all of a sudden, his whole economy is destroyed. All of our free labor is gone. And in rage, he went after them. He repented of letting the Israelites go and God's great plan to destroy the world power and their army in the Red Sea. Oh, Christian, do what's right. You see, this defines us. It's been my life too much in my life. I loved your honesty, Ron. It's good. It's good to challenge us, right? Will any of us be one that when the going gets tough, we do this? We want to say no, but I'm nervous. I want to tell you this. This is what's important. Always remember, why do you do what's right? Because it'll honor God. If we can remember this. You know why I didn't do that? It honored God. But if you do it because you're looking for the benefit, you'll turn from it. You'll stop it.